2019. This is episode 412 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. Today's death, Marlena Dietrich, who died May 6, 1992. Dietrich was a violinist and chorus girl until director Joseph von Sternberg put her in his film The Blue Angel, which in 1929, at the age of 26, made her one of the biggest stars in the world. She moved to Hollywood almost immediately as Germany's answer and Paramount Pictures' answer to Sweden's Greta Garbo, and she was helped tremendously by von Sternberg's obvious adoration of her. It made her the perfect femme fatale. She'd never quite be that big of a star again, but she was always Hollywood royalty, and she earned accolades for performing USO shows right next to the German border during World War II. Later in life, she became exclusively a cabaret performer, though she ended her career in 1975 after a fall in a play in Australia. Her last movie was 1979's Just a Gigolo, starring David Bowie. She was also great friends with Ronald Reagan toward the last decade of her life. She died at the age of 90 of renal failure in Paris, and she was buried in Berlin. Here in Athens, though, is merely Tuesday. I'm Will Leach. I thank you for spending part of your day with me. If there's one sport I have not actually covered at all on this podcast, I'm ashamed to say it is boxing. This is not of any problem with boxing or no philosophical stand against boxing. I just don't watch a lot of it, and that is my failing, I believe, rather than the sports. So I'm having one of my favorite boxing writers here today, Iron Mike Gallego. He's a writer for very commonly a Deadspin commenter who's become a regular writing there on their he has his own site on the new Kinja system over there. He also writes about boxing for Sports on Earth. And he's awesome. So the site is uppercutting.com, by the way. It's also uppercutting.kinja.com, but you can get to there. And we're going to talk to him about the Floyd Mayweather fight and all sorts of other issues going on in the world of boxing. All right, first off, thank you for coming on with me. I'm a big fan of your stuff, both on Uppercutting, of course, and what we have on Sports on Earth. We're honored to have you there. And I apologize to you, to the listeners, and to the world of boxing altogether that has taken me this long to have a boxing podcast, and I apologize.
Well, Will, it's my pleasure to be here, and I don't think any apology is due because both SOE and obviously Deadspin, everywhere you've been, has been a pretty good friend of the sport of boxing relative to what the mainstream media gives it. So it's definitely a pleasure to be on here with you, and huge fan of yours too, and looking forward to having the chance to chat with you about boxing.
Well, for what it's worth, that is not the highest bar to clear. Yeah, it's not too hard to I fine. That's true. I got Lupica beat. I got him beat there. I'll give you that. All right. So tell me what happened. I did not watch the fight this weekend, but it is. But I've read all about it, and I've read some of your commentary on it, if just on Twitter. It seems like this was this the first time that Mayweather looked to be not so much in trouble, but maybe even of loss. Okay, first off, question: do you think who'd you have winning the fight, Mayweather or the other guy?
I had Maidana, the other guy, okay, winning. I when I watched it last night, scoring it live, I had it 8-4 for Maidana. Now I score a little bit differently than some other guys. I really look at who I think there are four qualities you're supposed to score in boxing. The one I'm most interested in is what they call ring generalship, which is basically whose terms are they fighting on? And the fight overwhelmingly was fought on Maidana's terms last night. Other people are more impressed by kind of, the technique and the way the punches look. And Floyd is always going to look like one of the cleanest punchers in the sport. It's going to look like Michelangelo would sculpt Floyd Mayweather throwing a punch. And Marcos Maidana is the opposite of that. But they were fighting Maidana's kind of fight. And frankly, as pretty as Mayweather's punches look, they're not doing any more damage than Maidana's punches were. So in my mind, I thought Maidana won it pretty cleanly.
So now, you weren't shocked by the decision.
I was not shocked by the decision. I was disappointed in how wide some of the cards were. But I think, pretty much, all the other boxing writers I know and follow on Twitter were kind of in the same boat as me coming down the stretch. We all saw it as a close fight. Most of us saw it favoring Maidana or maybe narrowly to Floyd, but everyone was overwhelmingly expecting a Mayweather decision because that's just the way boxing works. It's kind of part of the sport we've all gotten used to, and you know, his promotional company put on the fight. He's the local Vegas guy, and everyone knows he's the biggest draw in the sport, and his undefeated record's a big part of that. So there was a lot of institutional pressure, maybe not outright corruption, but institutional pressure for the decision to go in Mayweather's direction.
All right, so now, at the risk of sounding like one of those jerks, it's like, boxing, blah, 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 blah. That's got to be frustrating as a fan of the sport. Or are you really just used to it? Like, is it institutionalized within you to be like, well, this is, you know, is it like superstar foul calls in the NBA? You're like, yeah, it's probably not right, but it really doesn't affect my overall enjoyment of this, or does it really bother you in a larger way?
You know, it will sting for a day or two after a bad decision, but I do think most boxing fans have come to accept a certain degree of, again, you know, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, Roy Jones in the 88 Olympics where there's clearly a bag of cash being handed to one of the judges to take the decision to fight another way. But I think, you know, refs, judges, you know, there are kind of home court advantages that exist in boxing, and I think we all accept that, and, you know, you'll see everyone bemoaning it for a day or two after a fight, and then it's pretty much forgotten by the next fight. So in my life, there have been, you know, less than 10 decisions, I would say, that I just thought were completely insane. Sometimes you see an individual card that goes that way, but more often than not, the decision comes out about where you thought it was, and there's at least a handful of guys you respect who saw it the same way, so you kind of think, well, I sure didn't see it that way, but if Graham Houston saw it that way, then I'm okay with it.
So now what is it? Now, is this the closest Floyd has ever come to losing, or one of the top two or three?
It probably is. I mean, technically he had a split decision with Oscar De La Hoya where one of the judges actually scored De La Hoya the winner. And that's kind of a debatable card right there. It was a pretty close fight. I had it going to Mayweather by 7-5, but you could have had it 8-4 Mayweather. It's tough to find 7 rounds that De La Hoya won there. But it was a close competitive fight. And the other fight that, you know, Mayweather very famously probably is often accused of having lost is his first fight with Jose Luis Castillo, which was more than a decade ago now, very different style fighter then. I actually thought Mayweather won that fight, but it was a very close fight, and they had a rematch, and Floyd convincingly won the rematch. But it's kind of consistent with Floyd that Floyd always takes the first few rounds of a fight off to kind of size up his opponent. So he gives away some early rounds, and then he can make the adjustments and then win the later rounds. And what was really unique about this fight was it didn't quite follow that pattern quite as neatly. It was pretty much a competitive fight throughout. So even against De La Hoya and Castillo, you know, Floyd was taking over the fight at kind of late in the fight. And last night, Maidana did something which was pretty special, which was that he really, from start to finish, I thought, controlled the tempo of the fight. And, you know, that is something we haven't really seen from Floyd before. And it could be the first sign that he's slipping, or it could just mean that Maidana is either better than we thought or has just a tough style for Mayweather to adjust to.
Yeah, I guess that was my next question, is what is the major takeaway of this? Is it that Maidana is a lot better than people realize? Is it Mayweather slowing? Is it there's now a blueprint to how to beat him? Or what's the takeaway from the fight? Ignoring whatever the decision came out to be, the takeaway of what this means going forward for people who would fight Mayweather?
Well, I mean, I think there is a blueprint to beat Mayweather out there. The problem is finding the right guy to execute it. I mean, we've seen there are things he doesn't handle particularly well. He doesn't handle a good thumping left jab. He's not the world's greatest fighter on the inside. He's very slick defensively on the inside, but he tends to kind of, you know, cover up and roll against the ropes. He doesn't really fire back that much. So there are ways to beat him. The thing about Floyd Mayweather is he's got kind of longish arms and he keeps distance very well. I mean, that's Floyd's, people don't talk about this too much, but it's one of the things Floyd does better than anyone else out there. He controls the distance between him and his opponent and he puts it right where he wants to be. And if you're too far back, he'll wait for you to come forward and catch you coming in. And if you get too close, he'll typically tie you up and get away. And so Maidana was pretty good at fighting inside last night, which was, you know, to his benefit. But I think, you know, the takeaway for me is, you know, Floyd on some level has, you know, been slowing for years. And we've seen it in bits and pieces of his game. He really doesn't have the legs he had, you know, even 5 years ago. He's a much more straight up and down fighter. So as great as he looked against Canelo Alvarez or Robert Guerrero, he was still fighting very straight up and down. And he's at a point now where a fighter with quicker feet might be able to do something to exploit that. As far as Maidana goes, I think Maidana is who we thought Maidana is. Maybe he's a little bit better. We know he's a game guy who comes to fight every time. But I think the surprise for me yesterday was Floyd Mayweather usually would surgically take a guy like that apart, and for whatever reason, he just didn't seem capable of doing that against Maidana. Whether it was because he, you know, has lost a step, or whether it's because Maidana's style is just a bit more difficult for him to time, I don't know. But that was my biggest takeaway, is that something looked wrong. Ordinarily, it's a fight that Floyd gives away the first two or three rounds and then dominates the rest of the fight. Last night, for whatever reason, he certainly became more competitive as the fight went on, but he never took over the way he did against, say, De La Hoya.
So this leads to, you know, after every Mayweather fight or every Pacquiao fight, the first question really afterwards is, so does this get us any closer to that fight or not? Does it?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And you know, there's, you know, for boxing fans, it's kind of become a cruel question, because I think everyone will agree, no matter how big a Mayweather or Pacquiao fan you are, they're not the same fighter they were
right
4 or 5 years ago when people really, really wanted this fight. It's still, though, the only fight that non-boxing fans are interested in. And, you know, the question is, you know, did Mayweather kind of give himself an out because he was competitive enough with Maidana that he can go for the rematch with Maidana next and hope that Pacquiao has to take on a tough fight for him and maybe gets beat and then he doesn't have to talk about fighting Pacquiao? But, you know, we've seen in recent weeks kind of an interesting kind of behind-the-scenes development. You know, Floyd Mayweather is very closely aligned with Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy promotion. And Golden Boy is very aligned with the Showtime Network, and Manny Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, is very aligned with HBO. And for years, Arum and De La Hoya hated each other. Arum was actually the guy who originally brought up De La Hoya and also originally brought up Floyd Mayweather, and they both had really bad fallings out with Arum. What's interesting is, you know, De La Hoya and Arum are publicly saying their relationship's fully repaired. Whether that could actually bridge the gap enough to make a Pacquiao-Mayweather fight happen, I don't know. You know, so far, the promise of $100 million for them to split up hasn't been enough to do it, so I kind of tend to doubt. With all the TV contracts involved, Floyd Mayweather's exclusively with Showtime. Manny Pacquiao is very aligned with HBO, and there's been a lot of, you know, again, acrimony between the two. So I think it's unlikely, but it's as close a possibility as it's been in a while.
Who has more to lose by not doing the fight? And that, like, if Mayweather, say, retires undefeated but never fights Pacquiao, does that hurt him, or does it matter?
It does matter. I mean, I think the biggest knock on Mayweather from the hardcore boxing fans has always been his choice of opponents. You know, he's won some big fights over the years, but, you know, his biggest, most significant win in boxing was against a guy named Diego Chico Corrales, and that was about 12 years ago, or maybe those two fights with Jose Luis Castillo. He fought Oscar De La Hoya and Shane Mosley, who are both Hall of Fame fighters, but at the very tail end of their careers. And he won those fights, and especially against Mosley, he won very cleanly. But he really hasn't beat a lot of legends in their prime in the way Manny Pacquiao has. And so while Floyd is undefeated and has done a lot of incredible things in boxing. I still think there's a good argument that, that Manny has actually accomplished more because he has knocked off a bunch of legends. He's beat Eric Morales. He beat Marco Antonio Pereira. He had his four famous fights with Juan Manuel Marquez, and he also obviously beat De La Hoya and Mosley at the end of their careers, to the extent that's worth anything. So, Pacquiao is the more accomplished of the two, and he also is the one with losses on their record. So there's no question that Mayweather has more to lose by fighting Pacquiao, because if he were to lose, that would raise real questions about kind of, did he get to be 46-0 because he missed the best fighters of his era? And frankly, right now, there's no one out there who would be a favorite or even a close underdog against Floyd Mayweather at his weight class. Pacquiao would probably be the closest one. So he's at a point now where he can, claim to be fighting the best out there. But when there was a time when he would have had some tough fights, he was, very famously avoided a fight with Antonio Margarito when that would have been a big fight. And he obviously, the situation with Pacquiao, was primarily most of the boxing writers out there who kind of know the inside details blame that more on Floyd than on Pacquiao's side. So I think if Floyd retires undefeated but without having fought Pacquiao or without having fought someone else of that stature, I think there will always be questions about where he fits, because boxing is all about competition. And the truth is, Floyd has been a big fish in what has been a relatively shallow pond.
But it still feels strange because, he's 37. It feels like that fight now, and Pacquiao's, 34, 35? He's just a little bit younger,
yeah.
I think. Like, it feels, obviously they're still, they're still undefeated and he's still beating, top contenders. But it's still, now it almost feels like a fantasy fight even if it happens.
That's right. And I think, it is to some extent. That's the shame of it. Back in 2010, when everyone was clamoring for this fight to happen, it would have really been the biggest kind of, it would have been by far the most financially meaningful fight in the sport's history. It would have been the biggest media event probably since, Tyson's heyday, when boxing was still on the cover of Sports Illustrated and video games, and Mike Tyson was endorsing Pepsi on TV and all that sort of stuff. There's none of that now. For all of Floyd's success, for all of Manny's success, neither of them's been on a Wheaties box there. Floyd has virtually no endorsements, and Manny endorses Doers, I think. He endorses, whiskey. So it's nothing like the glory days. And had they fought then, boxing would have been on another level. It would have been, people would have been talking about it on the late night talk shows. It would have been headlining on SportsCenter. And if it happens now, there'll be some of that, but it won't, I think, have the same mystique because we've seen how much Pacquiao's faded and because I think people are starting to question whether Floyd may be fading as well. So it would really be kind of like, if you brought Greg Maddux out of retirement right now to go face, a good slugger from the 1980s. It would be, an interesting matchup, but it was nothing like seeing the two guys in their prime.
Also, I'm sorry I set you up to do that, because that's one of my least favorite things that people do about the people like, okay, well, give me the baseball analogy for and I'm sorry, I think I set you up that way, and I apologize for that, because I know I think
you're no. Yeah. I mean, if you saw the thing I wrote on Sports on Earth this week, I did Floyd Mayweather ask Greg Maddux, so
yeah,
it was definitely an analogy that's been in my head. being a baseball fan too, it's very easy for me to kind of go back and forth.
So who is next to be excited about? Who is? Because now, you and I, when we were setting up this podcast, we talked. I was like, listen, give me the five biggest pay-per-views there would be right now, if we could.
Right.
And all of them seem to have Mayweather or Pacquiao in them. But those guys are in their mid to late 30s. Are there people that we're all going to be that in 5 years are going to be at this level, or are we still going to be saying that Mayweather at 42 is still the biggest guy?
No, we won't be saying that about Mayweather at 42, although he might still be boxing given his kind of money troubles in the past. I wouldn't be surprised to see him retire and then have to come out of retirement just to pay the bills, which is, by the way, what he's doing for this whole thing, which, you know, just led to him being the highest paid athlete in sports, was he had to come out of retirement because he went bankrupt. So there are a lot of exciting guys. You know, the biggest, I guess I would say, I won't call him a prospect because of where he is in his career, but the biggest name on the list right now is a guy named Gennady Golovkin. He's actually a Kazakhstani guy and just a brutal puncher. Undefeated, knocks out everyone he faces. He's really exciting. You know, I think he still needs to fight at a slightly higher level of competition before we'll know if he's really the next big, you know, international megastar, but he's got kind of all the attributes you would look for in someone who could be. You know, there are other guys coming up in Floyd's division, two of the ones who got a lot of attention because they won big fights in the last week or so are guys named Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. One of those two is probably likely to become a decent-sized star. I think Porter's a bit further ahead of Thurman, but I think Thurman might have a bit more upside. So, you know, we will see more stars. What's interesting, though, is where we're going to see the next batch of stars, because historically, boxing's always been about the heavyweights, and there's nothing on the horizon at heavyweight.
Why is there an institutional reason for that, or is it just happenstance?
You know, it's a great question, and you know, if you ask Bert Sugar, and I tend to agree with him, he'd say it's because the best athletes at that size are playing other sports now, because you can play football, you can play basketball if you're 6'5", coordinated, strong. You know, he used to say Ray Lewis is the best heavyweight in America right now. And that's probably right on some level. I mean, I don't know. You know, the best heavyweight boxer is probably doing something else, because it's a brutal sport. A lot of kids don't get into it at a young age, and it doesn't attract people to it in the same way that football does, because every high school has a football team. The football players are usually the big men on campus. There's football on TV every weekend for everyone to see, whereas to be a real boxing fan, you have to be able to shell out $60-$70, you know, every month or two to follow the biggest stars in the sport on pay-per-view. So I think it's just that, you know, in Europe, basketball is probably attracting a lot of the top talent, and then in the U.S., football is. And the result is you get these, you know, the best two heavyweights in the world right now are these two brothers, Vladimir and Vitaly Klitschko, who, you know, in my view, in any other heavyweight era would have been fringe contenders, but because they're fighting absolute nobodies, they put together this unbelievable streak where they just dominated the division for the last decade since Lennox Lewis left. Lennox Lewis beat the better of the two Klitschko brothers, and it was a really kind of bad version of Lennox Lewis. He was a little bit overweight. It was his last fight as a pro. He hadn't really trained seriously for this. This was a last-minute change of opponents. And he came out there, and he was cruising towards knocking out Vitaly Klitschko when he actually busted open Klitschko's eye all the way to the bone, and they had to stop it on cuts. And Klitschko got a lot of respect for that fight because he hung in. He didn't want to stop the fight. But the truth is, neither of them, in my view, would have stacked against, you know, Evander Holyfield, the prime Lennox Lewis, or any of the heavyweights. You know, Mike Tyson may have been a little short for them, but it would have been a tough fight. But if you go back to the 70s, the 60s, kind of the heyday of American heavyweights, they would have been fringe contenders against those guys.
And this leads me into maybe my last question, because this is something, you know, even as, you know, my sport is baseball. That's the sport I love more right. than any other. And it's funny because it's weirdly Rovellian when people do this, but they're always like, oh, baseball's ratings are low and so on. And like Tom Verducci wrote this piece at the beginning of the baseball season saying, here are the things we need to do to make baseball more popular for those kids on their iPods and their so on. And
right.
we need, when a home run, we need to, there needs to be a video game where a guy gets to run on the field and play, and they need to have chickens exploding and fireworks. And I don't think he actually advocated the explosion of chickens, but you get the idea. He was right. willing in a lot of ways to fundamentally change the game in order to mm-hmm. get a wider audience. And my general right. thing, particularly in a world now that is more niche than ever, and it's just there just aren't a lot of universally shared experiences anymore. I find that kind of strategy dumb. Like, I don't really care, frankly, if baseball – I mean, I want baseball to survive, so I'd like it to continue to have some new fans. But I to me, I don't want baseball to turn into something that makes the Today Show and the Yahoo front page happy. I'd rather just go ahead and have my game and just love it and love it for what it is and make changes as it needs to. And this is why I'd be a terrible commissioner, by the way. But, like, I'm curious about this with boxing because, obviously, like, yeah, boxing's not on the cover of Sports Illustrated anymore, as if that's even a big thing anymore. But never mind.
Right.
But it doesn't have the mainstream acceptance in a lot of ways, but and maybe it used to. But as a fan of the sport, as someone who follows it closely – not that you do care, but does that really bother you? Would you, like, is it something that really affects your enjoyment of it? Do you see the quality decreasing of it? I'm curious, just as someone that, like, is so focused on it, it doesn't really care that much anyway, how it gets larger. Does it bother you, or do you find a need for, do you find it almost as a cause you want to spread?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about the baseball comparison and the Verducci article is, you know, obviously people have been saying that boxing has been dying for years, really pretty much since Mike Tyson went away, who was the last undisputed mega star in boxing who everyone knows. I mean, you put Mike Tyson's face on the TV in any country in the world and everyone kind of lights up and recognizes him. And if, you know, De La Hoya was a popular guy, but never on that sort of level. And Mayweather's not even close to that. So, and yet at the same time that people are saying that, if you look at kind of the objective drivers of the sport, you know, the revenue numbers, things like that, you know, it's doing better than ever. And Floyd Mayweather, without any real endorsements, is the highest paid athlete in sports right now. So on the one hand, you would say, yeah, of course I'd like to be able to, you know, talk boxing with my friends in the same way I talk baseball with them or football or anything else. On the other hand, I mean, I do think for the most part, the sport is fundamentally strong. You know, I don't want to do the John McCain. The fundamentals of the sport are strong, but they are. I think, and also, I mean, outside of the heavyweight division, I think the talent pool still looks pretty good. It's not deep like it was 20, 40, 60 years ago, but it's still enough that we're always getting competitive fights. You know, I think the real question will be, you know, boxing's always been a sport that's dominated by poor people, frankly. I mean, it takes, you know, if you have a chance to be a doctor or a boxer, 99.9% of the people are going to, you know, choose to be a doctor. It's a lot safer career. It takes a long time getting hit in the face at boxing before you can make a living at it. And so as kind of the traditional kind of impoverished niches in the world change, you know, will the new ones embrace boxing the way that it, you know, historically has been embraced in other areas? And I think that, you know, it's a wait and see thing, but I think that's the key. And then the other part of it is, and I say this, you know, as a boxing fan, but also as a human being with some degree of empathy for other human beings, you know, there's a real question about whether, knowing what we now know about traumatic brain injury, whether a sport where your goal is to give the other guy a concussion should exist much longer. And I don't know. I mean, I've tried to get my feelings down on paper about that a number of times, and I used to box, and I've been concussed more times than I can count, and I still root for the sport, but then I see, you know, guys dying in the ring or guys being permanently disabled in the ring, and I go through extended periods where I question how I can support that. And you know, the more we learn in the NFL and elsewhere about CTE and everything else, the harder it is to just unreservedly sign up for a sport where your goal is to inflict that sort of damage on people. So, you know, I think on a 10-year kind of look, I think boxing's fine. On a 20 to 50-year look, I think, you know, I think it will be replaced by something that's a little less brutal, probably. And maybe there's a way to do that with different equipment or medical technology that will develop. But, you know, no sport where its star athletes are dying can stay popular for too long. And, you know, I think that's part of what killed horse racing, frankly, is they got sick of watching, you know, ruffian be put down on the track, and they wanted, you know, people just moved away from the sport.
That actually leads me to one last, I was going to let you go, but I have one last question that I find interesting there. If, you know, one thing about the NFL is, you know, well, I can point to the NFL and say, all right, if they're not making their, if that sport's not getting healthier, I can point at these people. I can point at this organization as some, as to fault for it. Like, no, like that, or that's not to say that the sport itself is not inherently dangerous, but the NFL, football has an overarching league that can do something about it. Maybe they should do more. Right. Maybe they're not doing enough. But like, if the NFL, if football ends up dying, as people, as some people claim it is, I think you can kind of fundamentally point to the NFL and say, you could have made these changes. Maybe they would have worked and maybe they wouldn't have, but you held back on this. If boxing, as you talk about, like, can get safer, is there, like, how would it happen? Like, is there an overarching association powerful enough to do it? Is it something you have to start from in gyms across the country or across the world, really? Or if boxing is to be made safer and we found out a way to possibly do it, is there someone to do it?
No. Yeah. And that's another big problem with boxing. And it's actually, I made a joke at John McCain's expense earlier, so let me give the guy some credit as well. He's a big boxing fan, and he's pushed hard for congressional oversight on boxing. And I think that some sort, I don't know if Congress is the right body, but some sort of, you know, national standard-setting bureau would be a really beneficial thing for the sport on a number of levels. One, again, we're talking about a sport that's still incredibly profitable for a very small number of people and incredibly dangerous for the vast majority of participants. So having some sort of social security real network that boxers pay into, so when a guy like Floyd Mayweather goes and makes $32 million for 36 minutes of work last night, you know, a sizable chunk of that gets taxed into a fund to make sure that, you know, some guy fighting deep on the undercard making $500 and not getting insurance has some kind of safety net, since those people are a big part of the sport too. I mean, those are the guys who all the biggest stars in the sport beat on the way up, and they need to exist for the sport to function. We also, I think, benefit from having some neutral, you know, arbiter handle rankings, because, you know, I think there's no subject that will get more derision from boxing fans and boxing writers than the quality of the rankings, which, you know, if you watch the movie The Great White Hype, you know, Cheech Marin plays a great kind of character who's, you know, being bribed by the Don King-like character who's Samuel, played by Samuel L. Jackson. It's a really fun movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But it's a fun movie for a boxing fan. You may have given it a bad review.
No, I gave it a very positive review. I'm sure, don't get me wrong. Even if I had given it a good review, everyone would be like, huh, B minus. So I'm fully aware. I'm fully aware that no matter what happens, that's what would be going on. But my hobby gets me more derision than anything else that I do. But yes, please go ahead.
So rankings, a social security net, and obviously some sort of regulation in terms of safety, because what we're seeing is, you know, some states have tougher licensing requirements than others, and fighters who basically are already showing clear signs of degenerative brain disease are being allowed to fight by, you know, basically traveling around forum shopping for a commission that will let them in. And we need somebody to put a stop to that and just say, look, you know, anyone, a guy in perfect condition can have kind of a fluke accident in a fight and die. But the truth is that a lot of the guys we see die in the ring in the last few years, people knew they shouldn't be fighting. There was a guy named Levander Johnson who fought a few years ago and got killed in the ring against a really good young fighter named Jesus Chavez. And people were, in the week running up to it, I knew a lot of boxing reporters were saying behind the scenes, like, this guy shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a ring. And, you know, and then, you know, this was in a world title fight and he's dead. And then, you know, last year we had a number of, you know, tragedies in boxing, and it's, there needs to be someone out there who's looking out for these guys' best interests, because for the most part, they spent their entire life being told they're invincible by people who profit off them without taking any risk themselves. And everyone else's economic interest is basically lined up with, you know, getting disposable bodies in the ring, and there's no one out there to tell these fighters, some of whom who don't want to believe that they're broken down or can't afford to do anything else, that they shouldn't fight. And, you know, I look at some of my heroes now, like Roy Jones Jr., who was, in my mind, the most talented athlete, period, I've ever seen. Forget boxers, just the most talented athlete. I mean, he played professional basketball mm-hmm. on the side while he was the undisputed yeah. top guy in the sport of boxing. And he's still out there trying to fight, and he gets brutally knocked out in about half of his fights now. I mean, he's just so, you know, he's a guy who was untouchable early in his career, and now, you know, now just seems to just completely go to pieces when he gets hit in the head. And there's no one out there really telling him, Roy, you had a great career, time to hang him up. Or you got to hang him up, whether you want to or not.
Right, yeah. And so I don't force him to do it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I would think the sport would really benefit from having a single oversight body with the power to do rankings, enforce some sort of social security net, and obviously tell guys, look, you know, you've had enough.
All right, man. This was as great as I suspected it would be. So, and I'm as you know, I'm a huge fan of stuff. I love that. Honestly, man, I love that we have on sports. I feel like so like excited that we have you there.
So, thanks, man. Well, it's a blast doing this. So, thanks again for having me there, and
of course.
Thanks again for having me on. This was a great time.
Of course, we'll do it again. Hopefully, I think anyone that's listening now knows that, like, anytime there's any boxing stuff, we're obviously going to have him on. So let's just hope that comes sooner rather than later.
I'd look forward to it anytime, man.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks
I appreciate
again,
your time. Be safe, and we'll chat soon.
Great. Take care.
Hey, so he was great, by the way. He's off the phone now, by the way. He's not like, I'm not like forcing him to be quiet as I sing his praises where the interview's over. This is just me putting a close on the podcast. You've probably figured out how the sausage is made here. Anyway, he was great. That was so awesome. And I feel like I understand that so much more than I did before, which is, of course, always the goal. So thank you to Iron Mike Gallego. You can follow him on Twitter, where he is both prevalent and intelligent, which is a rare combination for Twitter. It's certainly the former is more common than the latter. You can he is at Iron Mike Gallego, IronMikeGallego. So this has been the Willich Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. I do not know who Wednesday's guest is going to be yet. As you could clearly tell from that interview, we did that podcast on Sunday because I wanted to make it, didn't run it until Tuesday because I wanted to get Mr. Pesca on Monday so he could talk about the gist. But clearly great, Mr. Gallego. We're going to have him on again very soon. So anyway, take care. I don't know who we'll talk to Wednesday, but it'll be someone smart. All right, take care.